Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
So this morning's scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 10 through 17, where we find Jesus talking with Nicodemus. And after I get through reading these scriptures, Bo promised to give an excellent message explaining Jesus' teachings to Nicodemus. So Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. So I'm preaching through familiar passages. And after a couple of weeks on vacation, I thought John 3:16 would be an easy one for me to come back into. And it seems I've been set up. So there you have it. Vacation is a time for me, part of vacation, is a time for me to evaluate and reflect. And at some point during our vacation time, Gail and I sit for a few minutes. Well, what's been good this year? What's not been good? What do I need to do better? Ask her that question 3 or 4 times. And one day as I was riding my pool noodle through the pool, man, I wish I had invented pool noodles. Don't you? Part of my evaluation was a realization that I am really thankful for Chrissy Williamson. Your former pastor was so amazing, and she did such good work here. She was intentional about living out her vision, and I'm really grateful for that. She did such amazing work with immigration, strengthening the partnership with Mark and Kim. She was so intentional about developing clarity around human sexuality and where we as a congregation stand as we are welcoming and affirming to everyone, regardless of where you are. This is a safe space for immigrants. This is a safe space for people who are working out their faith. This is a safe space for people who are trying to understand their own selves. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the clarity that she brought around justice and race, becoming a voice for those who needed a voice. She was intentional in the face of so many challenges, succeeding while some left and prayed for her failure. Shame on them. But thanks be to God for her and the Christian witness that she gave to you and that she gave to this community. I'm also really grateful for this staff. They caught the vision that Chrissy had cast, and they picked up with what she brought in and went running with it. through every age group in our church. They have made space for me in the 13 months that we've been together. I have a seat at the table, and I'm so grateful that they welcome me to that place. They will reform that vision as the next pastor comes in, and they'll pick right up and not miss a beat. And I'm so jealous for whoever comes next, for the good staff they get to work with. I'm also really grateful for those of you who are leaders in our church. I'm grateful for all of you, actually, for your generosity, for your willingness to do good work, for your intentionality about continuing the momentum that had been cast through that vision. And so I'm just really grateful today. What does that have to do with John 3:16 and Nicodemus, Sammy is asking? Well, Sammy, I'm glad you asked that question. Because we now are the holders of the vision. Not only the vision that Chrissy had cast for us, but also the vision of the call as we understand our own individual call. We are called to live out Jesus. We are called to be Jesus. And that's what John 3:16 is about. That's what Jesus is trying to share with Nicodemus in this clandestine curiosity that he comes with, this mind-blowing mystery that Jesus gives him, this redemptive reality of the salvation that comes through the Christ. Nicodemus doesn't understand how God's love works. And he was a master teacher. He was one of the leaders of the Pharisees. He should have known that, except that within the Jewish religion, only one man a year got to go into the Holy of Holies. Only one man a year got to have conversation with God, whatever way that might have transpired. Nicodemus and others in the Pharisees were kept out of that Holy of Holies. They didn't have or didn't think they had direct access to God. And Jesus says, come on, Nicodemus. You know God loves you. And Nicodemus said, I don't think I do. I don't understand that. Jesus then says to Nicodemus, here's how you know God loves you. Because I love you. God loves me and I love you. And can you receive that? And Nicodemus says, come on, Jesus, I can't. In South Georgia, I can't understand that. Jesus shakes his head. Aren't you one of the leaders of the Pharisees? And you can't get it? No, sir, I can't. That's why I'm here. And Jesus says, look, we speak of what we know. We testify to what we have seen. That's it. We speak of what we know. We testify to what we have seen. We tell stories of the faith to one another. And as we tell the stories of the faith, we understand that God loves us, and we understand that we should love one another. Nicodemus, what is on the doorpost at your house? Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. And you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Nicodemus, you've been saying that since you were two. When are you going to get it? And Nicodemus says, come on, Jesus. Look, we know you're from God, because nobody could do the things you do unless God was a part of it. But Jesus, how do you do what you do? See, that's really what Nicodemus wanted to know. He didn't really care about God. God was what he was using to have the conversation. But Nicodemus really wanted to see behind the curtain. The great and powerful Oz. Come on, Jesus, how do you do what you do? Come on, Nicodemus. We speak of what we know. We testify to what we have seen. God loves me. I love you. What else you need? But Jesus, I need to know what you know. I need to know how you do what you do. See, Jesus was either the best con man in history or the greatest truth teller. And you have to decide for yourself which way you accept Jesus. Jesus is sharing a truth greater than anything Nicodemus can comprehend, greater than anything most of us can comprehend as well. But according to Jaroslav Pelikan, if Jesus is right, nothing else matters. If Jesus is wrong, nothing else matters. You choose. We're each searching for heaven. All of us are searching for heaven on earth as it is in heaven. I don't know about you, but I don't want to wait till I'm there to be there. I want a little of it here. Consider this. Jesus says, we speak of what we know, we testify to what we have seen, which means we have to be in relationship with one another. Nicodemus, I want to be your friend. I want to be your brother. Yeah, but how does somebody be born again? It's not about physical birth. As April prayed earlier, it's about that awakening within your spirit right here, right now. Let me tell you about two of my encounters. When we got ready to go to seminary, we had a four-month-old baby. Neither of us had a job. We had $500 in our pocket. As we got in the car to follow the caravan with all our stuff going to Louisville, Kentucky, Gail said, how's this going to work again? And I said, I don't know. I don't know. But God will provide for us. In less than a month, Gail had a full-time job with benefits. I had two part-time jobs. We sold our house in Georgia. We had money in the bank. I don't know how God works. I just know that God works. And that's the testimony. In 2019, I was invited to serve with a group of pastors and be mentor to a small group of pastors who were looking for pastoral leadership and guidance. I got the peer group that had attended Wake Forest Divinity School. And one of my mentees in that group was Chrissy Williamson. I didn't know her. I'd known of her a little bit. I knew some of the struggle she was having coming here, but I didn't really know her. But in that year and a half we spent together in peer relationships, and then with burgers at Bad Daddy's, which was our kind of sanctuary, we talked a lot about ministry, and I came to really love and appreciate her. That was a God thing. She said, "Would you be open to coming and preach sometime at Greystone?" I said, I would, but you need to know I have a little baggage. And I shared a little bit of my baggage with her. And she said, "At Greystone, everyone is loved, everyone is valued, everyone belongs. You can come preach." I said, "Okay. I'd be happy to." One Saturday night, I got a phone call about 10 o'clock at night. "Bo, this is Chrissy. Hey," she said, "I am stuck in an airport and I can't get to church on Sunday morning. Could you be at church and preach on Sunday morning?" Well, heck yeah. I'm a Baptist preacher. I always got one in my pocket. One of those days at Bad Daddy's, I sat down with Chrissy, and she said, "I'm going to be gone for the summer. I've gotten a Lilly grant. I'm really excited about that. I was wondering if maybe you would be a stand-in preacher for me for the summer." And I said, "Well, I'm retired. And I really don't like having a real job." She said, "Well, if you could come meet with the staff on Tuesdays and hang around some for meetings and preach on Sundays, that would be great." So we decided that's what we would do. If I hadn't met her in 2019, I wouldn't be standing here today. That's how God works. And some of you may be wishing and praying, "God, work in a different way. Please, God." And no one's praying that prayer more than me, let me tell you. On Friday, we were packing the car. I said, "Gail, let's stay another week. We can make it work." She said, "You got to go back." It was a God thing. I speak of what I know. I testify to what I have seen. That is the secret to John 3:16. And here is what really impacted me the other day in the pool. We're not telling enough. We're not telling enough. This community around us needs us, and we're not telling enough. The community of immigrants and refugees that come through our city, there's one couple working their butts off to help them. We're not telling that story enough. The LGBTQ plus community who are struggling to figure out where they fit in the world, they fit here. And we're not telling enough. People who have skin color different than yours and mine, people who may have different lifestyles than you and me, people who have suffered injustices that we can't even understand, we're not telling enough. People are looking for what we have. We're not telling enough. So I'm going to challenge you over these next few months, however long I'm here, I'm going to challenge you to start telling your story. Wherever you find yourself, whoever you find yourself surrounded by, tell of what you know, testify to what you have seen. And let's see what happens. Because behind the curtain, it's the same as in front of the curtain. We love you. Before COVID, the average American had 5 to 7 good friends. Since COVID, the average American has 1 good friend. People are looking for us. People are looking for us. And the only way they're going to know we are here is if we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen. And that's what I did on my vacation. What about you? Let's pray together. Forgive us, God, when we're so busy looking behind the curtain that we forget to look around us. Forgive us when we're so busy wanting care for our own selves that we forget to share the love of Jesus with those around us. Forgive us when we are so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. Help us, God, to live so that we might have heaven on earth as you have it in the heavens. I pray this through Jesus the Christ. Amen.